The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I'd like to try this morning to talk about a very important and central aspect of the freedom and letting go that is at the heart of the Buddha's message. And so I think it's familiar enough to people that Buddhism puts a great emphasis on liberation or freedom, and that the exploration of Buddhism has a lot to do with exploring what it means to be free, what it means to be liberated. And in terms of the spiritual liberation that Buddhism emphasizes, especially in the context of the culture of the United States, I think it's important to say that it's a freedom. Buddhism emphasizes a freedom from, and you know, the dominant rhetoric of this culture of this country is freedom to do things, freedom to vote, freedom to assembly, freedom to religion, freedom to shop. And but in Buddhism, it's freedom from, because you can be free to do all kinds of things, but what drives the doing is a lot of clinging, a lot of craving, a lot of conceit, a lot of greed, a lot of hatred even, that can drive it. And so we can't just simply look at the freedom to, you know, to have an unlimited credit card and then think you're completely free. In fact, with an unlimited credit card, it might be invisible how much greed or how much, you know, is driving a person in clinging and attachment. And so in Buddhism, the focus of spiritual liberation is the freedom from those cravings, the attachments, the greed, the hatred, the conceit that might be operating. And in some ways, that's a lot harder to do. To really be able to turn the attention inward to discover where those things are and then to somehow become free of them. And so in discussion in this movement towards freedom, there's a variety of words that kind of are in the family of letting go. So there's letting go, there's abandoning, there's shedding, there's casting off. Those are all kind of active verbs. But they're also kind of inactive or intransient verbs, like release or to be released or to be liberated or to be a fading away, a relinquishing, a dropping, a stopping, that happen not so much because we're actively doing something, but because as the practice deepens or strengthens the mindfulness and concentration, the insight, there's a natural shedding. Kind of a sloughing off of the skin of a snake as a snake gets bigger and grows. As we grow and mature, there's a sloughing off of what maybe in the past we thought was important or maybe was important, but is no longer needed. And there's this releasing that can happen, falling away that can happen, that we don't have to be so actively involved with. And so this idea of letting go, releasing, sloughing off, casting off, shedding, is something that should be understood and explored and kind of treated with kind of as a precious commodity for Buddhist practitioners. And there's not a few people who encounter Buddhism who find the concept of letting go perplexing. They don't understand why it's so important. They don't understand even how to do it. It's kind of a mystery of how it is. But as people, I think, begin to engage in the practice, it becomes more and more clear that this is something that's valuable to do and that we're better off for it. And part of the wisdom or the insight is to see that the alternative to letting go in the terms of holding on is not such a good deal after all. And so we begin seeing a holding on, clinging, resisting in some strong inner way that contracts the heart, the mind, closes it down. It's actually, that's where there's a problem. And that's what we shouldn't be validating or celebrating or trying to defend. Not being that way is so much better than being that way. And so it isn't so much that letting go is being championed as the... It's better than the alternative. And to see that, then letting go becomes more interesting because we see. The Buddha once said that, for all the emphasis he gave on things like letting go, he said, I don't teach you to let go of everything at any time. He said, I only teach letting go when it leads to your betterment, leads to you having better states. Only teach letting go when it's nourishing or supportive for you. If it's not, don't let go. Where that requires, again, self-monitoring, attention to ourselves, what the effect is of letting go, what it's like when we shed something or outgrow something, and to recognize what's there. There can be two people who have, perhaps in Buddhist practice, maybe even a profound letting go, profound release or experience of liberation. One person has it and will suddenly not have a lot of the inhibitions that the person had or a lot of the inner resistance, carry a lot of the weight that they used to have of their preoccupations. And with that new energy that's been released, will immediately pursue whatever they wanted to pursue. I mean, we have lots of messages and lots of ideas of all these wonderful things we can do. And so to be released of the attachments, and then suddenly, oh, now I can do all this stuff. That's one way. The other person becomes equally liberated, something lets go in a deep way. But the second person stops and takes a good look at that. The person investigates or feels or recognizes what it's like internally to have let go of something. So the first person kind of let go, maybe in a sense created space in the mind and heart, and immediately filled it with something else. The other person didn't do that and took time to feel what that space was like, to feel what that experience of letting go was like, to feel the goodness of it perhaps, what's nourishing of it, really recognize what that experience is like. And I've known people like this. I've known people who have had practiced sincerely and in a deep way and have had something important let go, something shed, and fell away. And I've even known some people who had this in their teachers in Asia kind of confirmed that this was a genuine kind of Buddhist kind of realization experience. And then they went back to their normal life, and they ended up being kind of a little bit disappointed, some of them bitter, because they didn't see that it made any difference in their life. Nothing had really changed for them. And they were struggling just the way they did before and all kinds of things. And they felt let down by their practice. And I've known other people who've had similar kind of experiences for whom it was life-changing and it kind of changed their life, the direction of their life. It became that experience became their teacher, their orientation, their kind of reference point, their North Star. And they never kind of became the same again. So what was the difference between these two people? I think that what I've seen so far in different people I've talked to is that some people, for whatever reason, maybe because they haven't been taught to do so, don't really appreciate the impact or the significance of the letting go that they've done. They don't stop and take a look at it and recognize it more carefully. They just kind of go on, you know, with life. You know, they have, you know, there's all kinds of things to do. And in fact, I've known some people who didn't even stop to take a look at it and experience it because they were so set on, like on meditation retreats, so much momentum to go back and keep being practicing concentration or insight that they kind of went on to the next kind of, you know, got to keep chugging away. So there's a variety of reasons. And also sometimes Buddhist teachers don't do enough to emphasize how important it is to stop and recognize when there's something has let go, when there's some deep, you know, relaxation of something that we've been holding on to. And there's good reason for that, because sometimes people get a little bit too attached to that, or a little bit even conceited. Look at me, I've let go. look at me, I've let go of, you know, conceit. And so, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, problems that can come. So there's some reason, but for the people who actually take in, who realize, oh, this is actually important what happened. This is actually a teacher for me. This is significant. Something has changed now that makes me understand myself, my life, priorities in a very different way. Let me take a good look at this. Let me kind of remember this. Let this become a vision for me. So some people don't remember it, don't want to remember it because they've been told too much in mindfulness practice. Just stay in the present moment. Let go. Let go of everything. And not a few people have had some kind of important experience in meditation or in practice, gone to their Buddhist teachers, and the Buddhist teachers will say, one more thing to let go of. There's some value to that instructions, for sure, but it can somehow sometimes cause a person to then like forget about it, and it no longer becomes a reference point that lives in them. So to stop and recognize even the smallest kind of letting go that we have. You know, I think all of us here, all of you, have had small letting goes that maybe are just part of ordinary life. But just even in those situations, to notice it and feel it and get to know what let go, what changed. One of the words for letting go in this ancient language of the Buddha is vusaga. And vusaga also means to relax. And I love this. I mean, relaxation. So to let go means something has relaxed. Can we experience that feeling of relaxation, that lack of tension that is there, the lack of preoccupation? One of the fascinating things to realize is to the degree to which our preoccupations are a thicket of thoughts and ideas and stories and opinions create a kind of a strong veil or filter through which we see our world. To let go deep enough to no longer have that veil and filter and be able to see through the space that's been created of the absence of clinging or the absence of preoccupation is not an easy thing to do. But once it happens, take time to feel that and experience and be with it. No matter how mild or small it is, let it be your teacher. Learn from it. And learn well enough so that it becomes an understanding of your potential. And there's a lot of this, and the most strongest language in Buddhism for this understanding our potential of freedom, inner freedom, is used, the language that's used in the ancient tradition is to have a vision. To have a vision. To have a deep enough experience of letting go that the person now has a vision of what is possible. A potential. And here again, sometimes if people listen too much to mindfulness teachers like me, be in the present moment, the idea of you're supposed to think about the future, about the potential and where it's what's possible, is often sometimes, so don't do that, just stay in the present. And there's some value in that instructions, but there's also very important sometimes to maintain memory and to have some sense of the possibility of where we can grow into and develop. That comes from a clear present moment attention to what it feels like, what the experience is like of freedom that's here. So this letting go, freedom, I associate a lot with a sense of space in the mind or the heart, an opening in the mind and the heart. And that is not cluttered, nothing's there to obstruct us anymore. Little is there. And the powerful metaphor that's used for this in the Buddhist tradition is that of a path. Buddhism is a path, more than a religion, it's a path, a magga. And a path through the woods, through the thick jungle, is a place that's a absence of trees and shrubs, of thickets, so we can walk unobstructed. And what's important about a path is the absence of anything gets in our way. And so to be able to walk through a thick forest is to be able to recognize where that opening is. So in the same way, we are creating in this, through this practice, space, we're creating our own path by recognizing where the opening is, recognizing where the space is, recognizing where the lack of clinging is, and having a memory, a vision, and a visceral feeling for what that is like. Oh, this is what it's like to be at ease. This is what it's like to have the mind not cluttered and tight and contracted. And if that experience of letting go or release is strong enough, then it kind of can live in us, maybe like a visceral memory, maybe as a constant companion that's always there waiting for you. I love the idea that it's, you know, sitting right behind your shoulder. You know, it's just all you have to do is turn towards it. It's right there. That's available. You know, we go through our lives and we get busy and involved in all kinds of important things. And so then we lose touch with it. But it's right there on our shoulder, sitting there waiting for us. You know, it's I just have to kind of turn towards it or relax or let go a little bit to get a little feeling, a taste of what that space of freedom, of liberation, of letting go might be like. So the more that we can feel that and sense that or have a vision for it, then the amazing thing that happens is that it begins working on us. Often the language of Buddhist practice is that you're supposed to practice. At some point, the idea that you're the one who's practicing transitions to I'm the one being practiced. I'm the one being practiced by the freedom or the space. What the practice is about more and more is not about doing, but about allowing. Allowing the space to be there. Allowing the freedom to be there. Allowing the non-clinging to be there. And it's because if you've learned to recognize it and allowed it to kind of really be felt and known, and if it's strong enough and it's not so far away, then you can kind of like just relax, settle in, just, is it here right now? And it doesn't have to take so long. You know, you might, and I suspect most of you can tap into some quality of it. I think all of you have had some enough experience of letting go or of some kind of peace or some non-preoccupation, that you can drive your car and come to a red light or stand in a long line at the supermarket, the back of it. I chose the wrong line. And use that as an occasion to contentedly just stand there and let go. Find the freedom right there. Find the difference between being preoccupied, the light has to turn, revving the gas, ready to go, whatever, or judging everyone, or keep scanning for which line is better. Should I change? Should I not change? You know, all these important decisions, right? And just let go and just kind of find the freedom right there in that moment. Can you get some, it doesn't have to be dramatic, but it can be some, right there, is it available? Do you have a feeling, a sense of that possibility? Do you have a vision? Do you have a memory that kind of says, oh yeah, this is what it's like. I can let go. So as this becomes more and more part of our life and we allow for it, and this experience of letting go becomes stronger, it becomes a little bit like a force inside of us. That kind of wants to come. It's kind of a momentum that wants to work us. It's kind of like it's massaging us or working us, there's a feeling almost like what inside of us, there is a movement of growing, of shedding, of breaking out of the shell. At some point the chicks, you know, start pecking to get out, right? Or at some point the snake grows and wants to shed its skin. That's limiting it. At some point, if you you know, if you're cold and you go stand in the sun to get warm, you don't make yourself warm standing in the sun. Perhaps you just kind of stand there, maybe expose yourself to the sun so that sun rays can come in. At some point, the most natural thing in the world to do if you get too warm is to take off the coat, right? And, you know, of course you do that. And so there's this momentum inside. I'm getting uncomfortable with too much heat. Let's take off the coat. So at some point, there becomes this momentum of freedom, a sense of space, of ease, of peace, of freedom. It's kind of like a force. Of course we take off this kind of clinging to here and there. Most of us have a lot of things that we're clinging to. We have a lot of attachments. There's no shortage. And what it means is there's no shortage of things to let go of or to outgrow or to shed. And so we can keep doing the mindfulness practice and keep looking and looking and being the one in charge. And that can be very powerful to do. But we then are not availing ourselves enough of this momentum of liberation that exists within us, this potential that can operate if we just kind of make space for space. Isn't that great? And if you have space for space, then in that space, there's a feeling of ease, of safety, of freedom, of contentment, of something that's there. And it's filled with potential. So if you hold your hand in a fist for a long time, and it begins hurting, but you think you're not allowed to let go of it, and it hurts even more, and after a while, you know, but after a while someone says, you know, by the way, the Buddha comes along and says, by the way, you don't have to hold a fist. You don't have to. It's okay to, you know, to relax your fingers and open them up. So a number of things happen when you relax and open up the fingers. One is you discover that you now opened up and exposed the parts of the hand that have greater sensitivity. The palm of the hand, the fingers, you know, they're very sensitive, you know, have a lot of nerves there. And so now you can feel things and sense the world in a much more nice way. You can also express a lot more wonderful things, I think. Generally, when people want to kind of, you know, shake hands, or you know, a child feels, you know, distressed, and you just kind of put your hand on their shoulder or something, and you do it with the palm of your hand. You know, I don't think the child's going to be too reassured if you keep the fist there and stroke them with your fist. It's a very different feeling. And so this also, when the hand is open, finally, the hand has a much more dexterity. You can do a lot more with a hand than when you have a fist. And also, when the hand is open, there's a feeling of greater ease in the hand. When we initially let go of the tight fist, that ease and pleasure of releasing it is maybe captivating for a few moments. Ah, that's good. What happens is that over time, we forget about it. We have things to do and we're preoccupied and everything. What I'm trying to emphasize today is don't forget about it. It's still there. All you have to do is tighten up a little bit to realize it's still there. But it's become habitual. It's become normal. It's become, you know, just a, you know, we take it just the natural state of things. So we don't think about it if the hand stays open. But we don't want to forget about it. Because if we know, if we really know what it feels like to have the hand open and relaxed, to ease and sensitive, then we might become more sensitive to ways in which we start curling up and tightening up again. And then we feel, I don't want to do that. I know something better. So the same thing with this inner freedom that can happen inside, that it certainly we make space for space in the mind. You know, we find this is that it allows for a much greater sensitivity, and I would say intelligence as well. It allows for much greater dexterity. The mind can be much more capable and do more things. It can also bring a lot of wonderful feelings. It can bring a kind of pleasure. It can bring goodness. It allows the goodness. We have plenty of goodness inside. All these wonderful, wholesome states of mind. That they, for some reason, they tend to do better and surface better if we're not preoccupied. And have you noticed that? If you haven't, notice. And so, you know, it's a wonderful things can happen in that space. It's not just like going into this, you know, dark space or boring space, you know. Some of the most interesting parts of human life come through the opening that's happened from with freedom. And then, this emphasis today is that I really want to stress is if we really get a, if we really get a sense, a really feeling, a visceral maybe, somatic maybe, or heartfelt or mindfelt sense of what this release is like, ease is like, peace is like, of letting go, of shedding or something is like, that it becomes a reference point, it becomes a North Star, so that we can start noticing, certainly when we start tightening up and clinging again, but maybe even more important, we start being able to kind of, is it the word ferret out, kind of find out, discover, all the places where we're still clinging, all the places where that letting go or that freedom hasn't grown into. And so the more you recognize and feel and sense freedom, ease, this deep relaxation of the mind, the more it can point you and help you recognize, I'm clinging to that still. I'm a little bit tight there. I'm not as relaxed as I thought it was. And then you can kind of, it grows, and that freedom can grow and grow and move out and fill in and become more and more. So the importance of recognizing, becoming familiar with the goodness, the value, what feels nice, what's important about letting go. That's one of the important tasks of mindfulness. So if you're at the traffic light, now you have something to do. You can let go and then notice what it's like just to be there in that space of just letting go and peace. And maybe there's something for you to learn there. And maybe there are bigger kind of letting goes. Some of the letting goes you might not notice. You know, one of the wonderful things that can happen to human beings sometimes is distraction. We get distracted by something. And then when we're over with big distraction, we realize that some of our big things that we're upset about or concerned with are no longer there. And so one option is to, oh, it's not there. I better go back and pick them up. And quickly. I'm so resentful of that person. And you notice after you watch, you know, you read a nice book or watch some nice movie or something, you're no longer thinking of that person. You're freed of this heavy resentment. So you could just rush. As soon as you notice that, you know, you're, oh, I better rush. I better rush back and pick it up. The other option is to take your time and feel what it's like to not have the resentment there. That's an example of those. Just feel what it's like not to have these things, to be free of it for those few moments. And there's so much to learn in the absence. Absence is not nothing. In the world of spiritual freedom, absence is gold. The absence of clinging, of attachment, of preoccupation. Start noticing and valuing that absence. Okay. So this was an important topic for me, at least. I wonder if you'd be willing to do a little exercise, which means you don't have to change your posture, but just close your eyes. What would you benefit from letting go? What letting go would be beneficial for you? And what goodness, what benefit, what way of being, good way of being, awaits you on the other side of letting go? And then, being aware that for some of you, maybe this topic has touched something that might be kind of sensitive, and that we want to care for each other, I'd also like to ask if you would be willing to quietly, calmly, form little groups of three or four, and take a few minutes, just each of you kind of sharing just a few words about something that came up in this talk or in that exercise. You don't have to do the most tender thing or the most private thing, but maybe something you want to share about that was valuable for you or what was evocative for you. And we'll just do a few minutes, if you'd be willing, just little groups of three or four. Well, thank you very much for participating in that and being willing to be part of the discussion. It sounded like it was engaging, and so I hope that was the case. And I hope there was enough sensitivity to each other, because I think, as I said before, this can touch tender areas of life. And so I kind of ended the talk with this idea of the precious sense of absence. And in that, this precious absence that comes along with freedom, this wonderful absence, it's always here. It's always available. So it might not see it or know it, but actually there's more absence around you and in you than you could possibly imagine. So it's always waiting for you. It's available. The absence that's freedom. It's your companion. May it be your constant companion. Thank you all.